Aviation experts in France are set to begin their analysis of the black boxes from the Ethiopian Airlines flight that crashed just minutes after takeoff on Sunday, killing all 157 passengers on board. All Boeing 737 MAX jets around the world have been grounded out of caution that there may be a link between Sunday's crash and the Lion Air disaster in the Java Sea 5 months ago. Information from the black boxes could help us get one step closer to figuring that out. And joining us now is Jeff Gazzetti, former NTSB investigator and FAA safety manager. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, let's start with the investigation that's underway right now. Aviation experts in France are supposed to begin their work today. It appears they haven't even begun. What do you make of the delay and the start of it?
I think the delay is inexcusable. The international standards for accident investigation calls for getting those black boxes read out as soon as possible. And a three to four day delay is simply inexcusable. They should have been downloaded either that day or the third day.
What do you think the reason is for the delay?
I'm not too sure. I think that the Ethiopian Civil Aviation Authority just didn't act promptly, perhaps because they didn't know which country would be politically expedient to allow the download. I don't think Ethiopia has the laboratory facilities to do such modern flight data recorder downloads, so they needed to find another country. But still, those talks should have occurred as soon as the accident happened, even before they found the recorders. And there's plenty of good labs around, the French BEA, the British Aviation Accident Investigation Board, the NTSB, the Australian. So they had a smorgasbord to choose from, and they should have made that choice and got those recorders on their way to that choice.
And what's the process now? What is so difficult about downloading the information off of the recorders?
Well, it's not really difficult. As long as the solid-state circuit chips inside of the protected case are intact, and usually they are, and in fact, I think in this case they are, even though there's photographs of damaged cases, in my view, the recorders look pretty good with regards to the protection, because in the core of those recorders are just a thumbnail-sized circuit board, which has all of the data in it. So it's just a matter of cracking open all the damaged pieces and protective areas around that, getting access to the protected chip, cleaning off the leads, and hooking it up to the chip and downloading the ones and zeros. And then once you download it, which is pretty quick, it takes time to analyze and to make sure you're looking at the proper parameters and then you've got the right thing. So it's tedious, but it's not difficult.
And once you have it, you've got both the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder, which, as I understand it, has the last 2 hours of cockpit conversation?
That's correct. It's like a continuous loop, and that is recorded on another solid-state chip.
So what do you think investigators will learn when they see that data and hear that recording?
They're going to learn a lot. So the flight data recorder will have over 1,000 different parameters at varying sample rates. You'll have ailerons, elevators, the rudder, you know, what the radio was tuned to, certain switch positions. It's just a voluminous amount of data. Half the battle is picking which parameters you want to concentrate on and then turn into a graph. And then you marry that up with the cockpit voice recorder. So there's like four channels of sound being recorded on that cockpit voice recorder. And it can tell you what the pilots were worried about, any grunts or groans by the crew if they were struggling with flight controls, those kinds of things.
And as a former NTSB investigator, what would you be listening for or looking for in this specific case of the Ethiopian Airlines flight that crashed?
The first thing I would do is look at the primary flight controls and the secondary trim flight controls, specifically the pitch. In other words, any of the flight controls that make the airplane go nose up or nose down. I'd also zero in on which mode the autopilot was in. And then I would listen to what the crew was discussing just before the takeoff and then right at the takeoff and during the climb out to see what checklist they perhaps were referring to. That would really zero in on the systems that may have been giving the flight crew a problem.
The crash is being compared to the crash of the Lion Air flight that crashed into the Java Sea last October. It's the same kind of airplane, the 737 MAX 8. And in that case, as in this case, it sounds like the nose of the plane was going up and down in the early minutes of the flight. What does that tell you?
Well, I guess I'm a little bit hesitant to speculate. We know a lot about the Lion Air accident because the Indonesians put out a public preliminary report, and it mirrors a issue that has been discovered with regards to this automatic trim system to help the pilot keep the nose down instead of going up so that the pilot doesn't aerodynamically stall the airplane. Mm-hmm. That system is supposed to really fire just once to give the pilot a little reminder. It appears in the Lion Air accident, it fired again and again and again, which confused the crew, but still mirrored a typical stabilizer trim, pitch trim runaway that has a checklist that says you just shut all of your systems off. I don't know if that's what happened in this case. It may have been related to that, or it might be a completely different type of malfunction. Mm-hmm. There's reports that the airplane began to pitch up and down as soon as it took off from Ethiopia. So there might be perhaps a completely different problem with the flight controls and with the crew than there was in the Indonesian accident.
Well, and the thing about this plane, and again, you're right not to speculate on this because we don't know. They haven't gone through all the data yet. But the thing about this plane that people are looking at is that the engine is bigger than on other planes, and that may have played a role in both of these crashes.
It may have. Certainly, the engines are bigger. They're more powerful. And not only that, they're underslung in a different manner, in a different location relative to the wing and the fuselage as their predecessor models. And that provides a different type of lever action or moment arm whenever the thrust is coming from that different position. That's why Boeing appears to have added this flight control computer software augmentation. And perhaps that could explain Ethiopia. We don't know.
As a former FAA safety manager, do you think that the FAA waited too long to ground these planes in the United States?
I do not. I think that they made the right decision. I know the optics of it might not look good, but the U.S. did it for good reason, because they had additional data. They had synthesized, newly analyzed satellite data that apparently is very similar, has some similarities to the Lion Air flight data recorder. And then they observed physical settings of the configuration of the airplane in the wreckage. So those two things are new information that gave them the confidence to say, you know what, we have to ground the airplane. Absent that, I think that they should not have grounded the airplane at the same time as the other countries. And the FAA was sticking to its robust risk assessment processes. But to have a national airworthiness authority, the government, make a decision like that based on no evidence from a purely aeronautical engineering standpoint is wrong. It sets a bad precedent. It erodes the confidence in our system. And it actually, I think, could create a hazard because it distracts the investigators from looking into the immediate problem, because now they're racing all around giving briefings to politicians and talking to the press and trying to explain when they don't have any evidence to do it.
How long do you think it'll take for us to get a comprehensive report about the Ethiopian Airlines crash?
The international rules indicate that a country has to put out what they call a preliminary report. That will be published in 2 or 3 weeks, and then a final report, which will be at least a year, if not more.
That is Jeff Gazzetti, who is a former NTSB investigator and FAA safety manager. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.